Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. We're continuing our study in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 23. This is God's Word. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. And they tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides! You say if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools! Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind men! Which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides! You strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee! First, clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous, and you say, if we had lived in the days of our forefathers, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding of the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the sin of your forefathers. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore, I am sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. I tell you the truth, all this will come upon this generation. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. One of the things about expository preaching is that if you just faithfully work your way through the scriptures, you can't avoid things. Sooner or later, you're going to have to say what God says in his word. Yesterday's passage was a little more entertaining because Jesus was sparring with these Pharisees and Sadducees who came to try and trap him. And of course, they were the ones who ended up getting trapped by their own devices. But now Jesus is speaking what some today would call a rant. He is just really going off on these folks and saying things that, well, frankly, are not socially acceptable, okay? In our culture, we try to train people always to be pleasant, and if you're dealing with someone with whom you disagree, always do it with a smile and a gentle tone of voice, and certainly do not say anything that might impugn their character or their intelligence. I mean, that's the way we're supposed to deal with each other, and generally speaking, it is a good thing to do. However, I want to remind you that Jesus is God, and he is speaking to people who claim to represent God, and he's doing so knowing that they aren't just interested in sparring with him intellectually, they've already decided that they want him dead and they're looking for a way to have him killed. He knows exactly what is coming. He's already told his disciples what is coming. The fact that he's going to be crucified and rise again from the dead. Jesus is not speaking just off the cuff. He is saying what his Father has told him to say. These are the words of God. And if you and I don't come to grips with the fact that God is a God who is holy and vengeful, dare we say that about God? Yes, hell is real. And if we don't take that seriously, then the cross makes absolutely no sense at all. You can't just ignore chapter 23 of Matthew's gospel. Because this is Jesus. This is Jesus talking. We like to think of Jesus as just, you know, hugging the children and that kind of thing. He did that. That's all true. We like to think of Jesus having compassion on people who are sick and healing them. He did that. That's all true. But you don't know Jesus unless you also read this and understand that Jesus says over and over and over and over and over, woe to you. You're in trouble. You've got a problem. And your problem is you're a fake. You're phony. You're deceitful. You're a liar. That's what Jesus is saying to these people. And he calls them repeatedly blind guides. Blind guides. Is this making fun of the blind? No, it's making fun of people who pretend to know the answers when in fact they don't. Jesus is rebuking people who claimed to be in a position to lead others when they themselves didn't know the way to go. And so Jesus rightly rebukes them. A blind guide isn't just a danger to himself, he's a danger to others. If you tell folks that it's okay to do something that God says it's not okay to do, you're a blind guide and you're endangering other people. We have pastors right now in this country who have decided that what the Bible says about things like, homosexuality, for example, just really isn't true. It's just not, you know, that's been misunderstood. It was mistranslated. It was misapplied. You know, we really shouldn't go there. It's just not, you know, who are we to judge? You start telling people it's okay to do stuff that God says it's not okay to do, you're not helping them. You're not being kind. You're not being nice. You're being cruel. You're being a danger to others. Don't think that these are the nice guys and these people are the haters. I had a tumor in my neck some years ago. And I went to the doctor. And the doctor said, that's got to come out. We need to take that out right away. That was not what I wanted to hear. But he told me the truth. I needed to have the thing out. And thank God they got it out. But I'm telling you something. We're living in a world where folks are encouraged just to say, oh, it's okay. Sure, that's, you know, celebrated. I mean, you know, yes, it makes you a bit asymmetrical, but, you know, that's just you. You just need to celebrate who you are and how you are. So, I mean, if you've got a lump over there on your neck, don't worry about it. No, I mean, just, I think you're adorable. Hey, let me tell you something. That's not kind. I'd be dead by now if they hadn't gotten that out. I'd be dead. You understand? Guess what the wages of sin is, by the way? The wages of sin is death. That's what we have earned through our sin. If we are not warned about the sinfulness of sin and the penalty for sin, it's not because people are too kind to tell us. Blind guides, Jesus says. Because these are religious people and they're telling people lies. They're pointing them in the wrong direction. They're saying, sure, yeah, I think that bridge is fine. No bridge at all. Guaranteed destruction. And folks, by the way, it's not just homosexual behavior that a lot of people are now saying is okay. One of the reasons the church has zero credibility when we try and address the subject of homosexuality is because so many other sexual sins have been embraced by the church for so many decades. You know, fornication, oh well, no big deal, everybody does that. No, everybody doesn't do that. Lots of people do, but broad is the road that leads to destruction. Just so you know. Fornication's not okay. Adultery, not okay. Well, you know, I'm only human. Well, then you need to be saved. Because Paul writes to the Corinthians and he rebukes them because they're behaving as if they're only human. Well, nobody's perfect. God is, actually. And you will not enter the kingdom unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees. Well, how can I possibly get that? Only through Jesus. You and I need to be born again. Our only hope is Him. So please understand that folks who try to pretend that it's no big deal and you can do as you please and it doesn't really matter and everybody just needs to chill, those folks are selling you a bill of goods. They're not selling you the real deal.
Folks, let me take just a moment to encourage you to go on the internet and visit the website of Ware's Valley Ranch. For over 20 years, the ranch has provided a loving home environment for children who have a problem that they did not create. It may be a health crisis on the part of a parent or even the death of a parent. Often, it's the death of a marriage, leaving a single parent struggling to care for the children while working one or more jobs to provide for their support. Sometimes, it's a parent who struggles with alcohol or drug addiction, or even a case where one or both parents are in prison. These children are not the problem. They're not delinquents. They're simply caught in difficult circumstances. I hope you'll help us provide these little ones with the opportunity for hope and healing in a Christ-centered environment. You may know a child that needs our services as well. Please visit WVR to learn more. That's WVR.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, what does Jesus say? He says, do not do what the Pharisees do and the teachers of the law. Do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. These folks were hypocrites because they told other people, do this, do this, do this. Let me tell you, it's a real danger to be a preacher. Book of James warns that not many of us should be in the position of teaching because we're going to be held to a higher standard because we're telling everybody else what to do, and we better be doing it. Jesus says you're not to be called rabbi, you're not to call anyone father, not call anyone teacher, or you're not to be called teacher, or you have one teacher, the Christ. Does that mean literally that we're not allowed to have anyone that we look to in a fatherly role or call anybody father? No. And the reason I say no is because we have the example of the Apostle Paul, for example, who encourages people to think of him in a fatherly way and speaks of himself as being a father to others, like Timothy, for example. What Jesus is saying here is that we are not to seek to exalt ourselves over others. Instead, we're to humble ourselves. And that whoever tries to exalt himself is, in doing so, sinning against God. So be careful. He warns them over and over about the false teachings, the stupid Pharisaical teachings about rules. Look at verses 16 through 22. Jesus is telling them that the rules they've laid down about what kind of vow you can make and which ones are not binding and so forth, that is utter lunacy. So is Jesus giving us then a new list of rules about vows? No. If you look at what Jesus says about vows, what he says is just don't make vows. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. So the point of these verses is not how to make a vow. The point of these verses is that their rules about vows were totally false. And then he talks about how they are very detail-oriented when it comes to certain kinds of stewardship and giving. But they miss the whole point. Why do we encourage people to tithe, to give 10% of their income? It's not because 10% belongs to the Lord. It's because 100% belongs to the Lord. And our giving is supposed to be a reminder of the fact that it's all God's and that we're supposed to use whatever we have for Him. But Jesus concludes that with one of my favorite statements in the Bible that I have seen played out time and again. Hopefully not as much anymore in my own life, but I'm very familiar with this phenomenon. He says, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Okay, now that is intended to be comical. Because you know how big a gnat is. And if one of those things gets into your drink or your soup or whatever, you know, it's like, oh, I don't want to eat a bug, so let me see if I can get some tweezers and a microscope here to remove that thing. Okay, I don't want to eat anything bad. But then, what happens? Something huge. He says, you swallow a camel. That's ludicrous. That's not a physical possibility. But Jesus is saying, you accept things that are completely unacceptable while making a supercilious fool of yourself, refusing to accept things that are no big deal. He says, you look good on the outside like a whitewashed tomb. Inside, it's just death. He says, you go to great lengths to clean the outside of the cup while inside is filth. They were all concerned about looking good on the outside, about being respectful and or respectable and recognized by others as very virtuous. But on the inside, it was death. It was rot. It was filth. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's our only hope. And Jesus tells these folks that all the sin, all the violence, all the bloodshed, all the betrayal, all the unbelief is all going to come to a head in this generation because of something that's about to happen. His death on the cross will be the climax of all the sin, all the evil, all the rejection of God that has taken place since Abel was killed by Cain. But through that death, the way will be opened for all who believe to receive eternal life. So, Jesus shows his heart when he says in verse 37, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. That is the reason why people go to hell. They are not willing to receive God's grace. Apart from receiving him, there is no salvation. He is the only way. But dear people, understand. He says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't feel like that there's no hope for me. There is hope if you come to Jesus. He offers you forgiveness, his righteousness, eternal life. But you must come.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.